The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Chaf Het. Today's daf is being studied in Mishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenehan Ben Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Shema Yosef Ben Sarah, Rahamim Ben Adel, Besarah Bat Rahad Enna Refananahem, Betoch Shar Chodei Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chaf Zayin Amud Bet. We are at the Mishnah at the bottom, seven lines from the bottom. Mishnah. Amar Bizekhariah Ben Akasab. The Bizekhariah Ben Akasab said regarding his wife, he gave a testimony. He lived at the times of the Khurban Bayit Sheni, where the Goyim were sieging Yerushalayim. So he wanted to testify that his wife was not defiled by the Goyim, hence he should still be permissible to live with her, because he was a Kohen. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Hamma'on azeh, he swore on the Bet HaMikdash. Ma'on is the dwelling. He swore on the Bet HaMikdash. Lo zaza yada mitoch yadi. She did not leave my jurisdiction, my hand. From the time that the enemies came into Yerushalayim till they left, she was under my jurisdiction. Now I'm telling you, nothing happened. Yamara says, Mishnah answers, En Adam me'id al atzmo. Finished. A person cannot give testimony for himself. I mean, just like we learned that the lady is not believed to give a testimony on herself. So we have a rule. Ishto kigufo. And just like we say, Ishto kigufo, so she cannot testify, he cannot testify as well. And therefore, he was not ne'eman. And of course, there's a simple reason. He's a nogeya. He doesn't want to divorce his wife. And therefore he has a prejudice. And therefore he was not believed to say that his wife was not defiled. Comes the Gemara and says, Tana, we have a braita. Ve'afal pichen yihed la bayit behasero. Which means even so, she'asru alav nefish kohen haya. Even though they were said his wife to him because he was a kohen, he was able to live with her in the same chatzir, in the same courtyard. Uchshehi yotzah. Now, when she left the courtyard, yotzah birosh baneha. She would go out first, and her children behind her, so she would not remain alone, be yehud with her husband. Uchshehi nichneset, and when she would enter the courtyard, she would enter nichneset besof. She would enter at the end, Baneha. So her children would enter first, so there would never be Yehud with her and her husband. So there was a kula over here that the rabbis allowed her to remain in the same courtyard, in the same place. But what? They did not allow Yehud. Good.
So what are we learning?
Which means the Achamim did not demand them to get divorced. They allowed them to live in the same chaser, of course, in separate homes, and they were not choshesh that they're going to come lidei avera. So the Gemara says now, based on this fact, ba'e abaye. So abaye has a question. Let's just read that. She kishi yotzav hu b'chaser, yotzav b'rosh baneha. Shiyu abanim emmahem shlo yityahadu. Good, so there'll be no yehud. Ushi nichnes b'sof baneha. Again, kedesh shelo yehu v'hi b'chaser b'banim b'vachutz. You want the children to go in first to break the yehud. So the Gemara asks, ba'e abaye. Abaye has a question. Ma'u la'asot b'grusha ken. Rashi, Kohen shigiresh et ishto. Now we know once a Kohen divorces his wife, there's no way he can take her back. A Kohen is forbidden with a Girusha. So that she says, Ma'u ladur imo b'chaser. Now she's divorced. He allowed them to live in the same chaser. What's the question? Maybe it'll lead to, since they weren't married, it could lead to Isur. So the Gemara says, Hatam hu de b'shvuya hikilu. One side of the question is that maybe by Shivuya, the rabbis were lenient. Why? Because the whole deen is a deen drabbanan. So they're able to say that what? That even though, let's say, the rabbis are mahmir, that we don't believe the husband, and then we have to assume that she was defiled, but they didn't go so far to say that they have to get divorced, they can stay in the same haser as long as there's yehud. However, abal acha, lo. But by a case of divorce, there's no room to be lenient. Or dilma lo shena. Or maybe no. The rabbis were lenient in both cases. Maybe they allowed a divorcee to live in the same chaser as her former husband, who was a kohen. Now, again, the issue over here is, since they recognize each other, the concern is that it could lead to avirah. That's obviously the side. So comes the Gemara, and she says, Gemara, Tashema, Netanya, we have a braita, Hamgeresh et ishto. A person divorces his wife, lo tinaseh bishchunato. She should not get married and live in the same courtyard. Which means, a regular person, he gets married. Now once already she gets married to somebody else, she's not allowed to go back to the original husband, even in Israel. So therefore they should not live in the same courtyard, in the same neighborhood, actually. Look at Rashi. Lefi shemakira birmizotav v'kritzotav, which means she's familiar with his hand gestures and things like that, and movements. Shem yavo nide avera, which means it's too close. Maybe it's going to come nide avera, because after all, once already she got married to somebody else, she's forbidden to come back to him. So they cannot live in the same courtyard. Vimaya kohen. And if the fellow was a kohen, now that's already, she's asuratim, even if she doesn't get married. Which is, once she gets divorced, she's forbidden to go back. Lo tadur imo bemavui. Which means they cannot even live in a mavui. Vashi vimaya kohen, afilu lo nisit, right? Even if she did not get married. Lo tadur imo bemavui, shem yavo aleha. Because the concern is that maybe they will be together. Vechohen asur begrusha. But in a kohen it's asur to take a gerusha. But Yisrael, kozman shelo niset. But Yisrael, as long as his wife did not get remarried, tadur b'shkunato. Don't problem to live in the same neighborhood, so to speak. Why? Because she's permissible to them. Technically, if they go back together, it's okay. Exactly. So that's the deen of a kohen. Now, they were again, they were all said that they might come to leave. Now, what is a mavui? So mavui is really like an alley that's opened up to the shoot and a beam, and you have hatzerot, you have courtyards in the alley that are opened up to each other. Okay, there's two different types of mavuis. There's a mavui mifudash, mavui she'enu mifudash. Some mavuis are open up on both sides of the shulim, and some are closed. But the point is that the courtyards are opened up to each other, so therefore it's forbidden even for them to live in the same mavui. Which is, even though she's living in one chaser and he's living in a different chaser, it's not one enclosed area like a shekhunah, which is one enclosed area. This is just a bigger area called the mavui. Still, since the kohen is forbidden to this lady, even if she's not remarried, so therefore they cannot. Comes the Gemara and continues and says, Imaya kfar katan. And if, let's say, the place where they're living is a kfar katan, which literally means a small village, Zeayam ma'aseh. So this story already came up. The Amru, the rabbi, said, kfar katan nidon kishkuna. So they treat a small village like a shekhuna, like a neighborhood. And what do we say by a neighborhood? That a girusha that got married should not live in the same shekhuna. So a kfar katan has the deen of a shekhuna, therefore it's also going to be forbidden. Now, there's different shitot over here. Exactly what's a shekhuna, what's a kfar katan, exactly how does these things come lema'aseh. So let's just read some of the mefarshim over here. This is really based on the Tosafot. Shekhuna, he explains, ish losha batim. A shekhuna is a row of three houses. The fize, girushat Yisrael sheniset shenit. You have a girushat Yisrael, she got remarried. Ena rasha'it lagud betoch menachak shlosha batim bebaali akodem. She cannot live within three houses of her prior husband. Okay? And that's the way actually the Birkei Yosef brings down in the Alakhan Yoreh Deah at the end of Siman Shin Lametet, that there's a three house rule. That's considered the same shekhuna. Now, Dina Shel Girushat Kohen is already Hamur. That's even more stringent. She in a Shitagud Bechol HaMavui.
which means forget about three houses. The whole entire Mavui is off limits. Okay, even though there's more than three houses, obviously, in the Mavui. Now, the reason why they were more machmir by a Girushat Kohen is because, more than a Girushat Yisrael that got married, is because Eshet Ish is more hamur to a person. So therefore, he's less prone to be over Eshet Ish than he is to be over to marry a marry a divorcee. So therefore, you don't have to be so mahmir by the Eshet Ish case. Therefore, the three house rule is enough. Mashiachin by Girushat Kohen, you have to be more concerned because they're not so careful. They don't treat it so hamud. If we have to put him even in the Mavui, it's going to be forbidden. Now, according to the Rosh and according to the Ran, a shechuna, a neighborhood, I guess, is bigger than a mavui. Okay, so therefore, Girushat Yisrael, according to them, is forbidden in a shechuna. That was the first din of the Gemara, yeah. Right? We said Girushat Yisrael asura b'shechuna. So they were covered. Girushat Yisrael that she got remarried is more hamur than a Girushat Kohen, because Girushat Yisrael she has to be can't even live in the same shechuna, and obviously Girushat Kohen is only in the same mavui. Okay, in any event, that is the subject of the Rishonim. Comes Gemara and says, let's say now they moved in. They're within the proximity. Who's got to move out? Do you move out the husband or do you move out the wife? So comes Gemara and says, "Mi nidhaim b'pnei mi." Who is pushed away in front of who? Tashema de Tanya, he nidhit mipanav. She leaves. Which means if it's a choice of who has to move dwellings, you move the wife that was divorced and got remarried, you move her out. And you don't move him. Even though the Mefarshim say it's easier for him to move, let's say he can move to a close place and she has to move to a far place, doesn't matter. She moves out of him. But let's say the chaser was hers. She owns the chaser, which means it's her property over there, and he doesn't have a ownership in the property. Then who needs chaim paneha? Then already he has to move. You can't kick her out of her own property. Now that's a push. They both have ownership. Let's say they both own houses in the chaser. Now who moves away from who? So tashema, we have a braita. He nidhit mepanav. The braita just says those words. He nidhit mepanav. She moves out in front of him. B'may askidan. What's the case? Ilima b'chaser shelo. If it's talking about where he has ownership but she doesn't, pshita. Ve'ela b'chaser shela. Oh, so must be talking about even if she has ownership, still the law is she moves out. Give us, what do you mean? That can't be that. Tanya, we just learned in the braita. Nimaita aser shela. Who nidhit mepanav? He moves out. Ela lav ki hai gav. That must be the case talking about where they both have ownership. When they both have ownership,
she goes first.
She goes out. So there's no proof. Dilma de agir megar. Now maybe the case is talking about where there's no, she doesn't have ownership. She only has rental. And therefore maybe in a rental, then already she has to go out instead of the imam. But maybe in ownership, maybe not. You have no raya when they both own. Could be the case is talking about they are renting. Which means both renting. And therefore, that's why when they both renting, they'll say she moves out in front of him. But maybe when they both own, you have no raya.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, okay, my avi alas, what's the halakha then? Tashema, hine Hashem metaltelecha taltela gaber. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. God is going to cause you to be metaltal, meaning wandering like a man. Implying what? That it is a bigger pain for a man to wander, because it's a curse that he's saying. Uh-huh. You're going to wander like a man wanders, implying that it's more difficult for a man to be moved around than a lady. A lady, it seems, acclimates more to move than man. And therefore, we're not going to move the man around. Therefore, the Gemara would say, even if, let's say, they both own,
will move the lady out
as head of the man. Why? Because it's more difficult for him. So we're not going to be matriach him. Taru Rabbanan. We have a blaita. The blaita comes along and says, now we're talking about, let's say a man got divorced from his wife. Okay? Love hemena b'nichse aviha. Let's say, he borrowed against her nichasim.
We learned that when a lady gets married, she brings in certain assets to the marriage. Those assets are called nichsim min log.
Those assets really belong to the wife, and the husband gets to eat pirot. Now let's say during the marriage, he borrowed from the principal of those nichse aviha from his wife. Now he got divorced, so he has to pay her back. Now we don't want him to pay her back directly, because any contact that they're going to have with each other could lead to avon. Now obviously you're talking about where she got married, let's say, to somebody else. Or let's say it's a case of a kohen, where if there's going to be direct interaction, it could lead to something. So the Gemara says like this. Look at Rashi, third line.
When they were married. Okay, now she learns the case of Kikoyen Shigereshet Eshto. Because it's forbidden now for her to go back.
So it says in the Gemara,
he's only allowed to make payments through a third party. Which means we don't want him to go direct.
Rashi, Ena nifrat emenu al yedei atzma shelo yikribu bedvarim.
And we don't want them to talk and get close to each other because it'll lead to
avera. Amar Rav Sheshat, vi atu lekaman ledina.
Let's say both of them come to court. Have a case amongst them regarding the money. So they both show up in front of the rabbis in the court.
Lo mizdakekina nehu.
We don't take the case. We don't hear them. Which means we don't want the start discussing between the two because it can lead to
avera. Rav Papa Amar Shemuteh Mishamthinan.
Not only don't we accept the case, we put them in Nidui for coming together.
Lehu. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Amar Neguden Namim Negdinan Lehu.
More so, we give them Malkut as well. Why? Because they did wrong. You're not supposed to come together to the Bet Din because already that's an interaction. They comes close to each other. So therefore, they gives them Malkut.
Only for Kohen, right?
That's the way that she learns the case. Kohen marries a that got divorced, then they cannot have interaction. Amar. Can it air? Because that case over there, they're concerned. But shaking in the Eshet Ish case, the guy's already more mahmir on himself not to go with the Eshet Ish. So therefore they're not concerned so much in that case. They're more concerned about this case where it's not so hamur on the guy. So any little interaction can lead to avon.
Rav Nachman, Tana Ba'abel Rabbati. We learned in Abel Rabbati that she says, Masikhta, it's the name of a Masikhet called Abel Rabbati. They call it Ota Simachot.
Right? They don't want to call it Abel. So they call it Sergina, or they call it Masikhet Simachot, which really talks about the sad things, but they call it Simachot.
Vezui Mishnah Rishona Hashela. The first Mishnah, Masikhet Simachot, says, A Goses, Tareu Kehai Lechot Devarav.
Which means a Goses is considered alive regarding all practical laws. I mean, even though he's on his deathbed and he's on his last breath, but he's considered alive.
So the Gemara, the Masechet that says over there, when do we say this whole law over here that they should not have interaction with each other? Where they got divorced from Nisu'in. Aval kishinet garesha mina Irusin. But let's say it was only divorced from Irusin. Nifrat al yedei atzma. Even she can get paid directly. Why? She'en libo gasba.
Which means they don't have so much familiarity at that point, only from the Irusin stage. So we're not worried it's going to lead to anything. So therefore, Girushim and Irusin, it's okay for them to have interaction.
Gemara says a story. Ahu arus va'arusato, de'atu lekamed rava.
Arus and arusa came in front of rava.
Now she says, kohen aya. It was a kohen. Yet, and it seems they were divorced. Okay? So now what happened? Yativ Rav Adabar Matna Kameh. So yeah, Rav Adabar Matna was sitting in front of them. Uki Rava Shiluhab Bintayu. So Rava put a shaliach in between them so they don't directly interact. Amar Rav Adabar Matna. Amar Rav Nachman. Tanab Abil Rabbati. We learned that Abil Rabbati that what? That Arus Arusa. You don't have to put an intermediary in between. So Rabbi, what are you putting an intermediary over here? Amale Kahazina Deka Gaise Bahadad. Which means I see that they recognize each other. They're giving gestures to each other, which means they're close. And therefore, in this case over here, even Arus Arusa, we have to be Mahmir. Ika de Amri, some have the same episode a little differently. Lo uki Rabba Shaliach bin Tayu. Rabba did not put an intermediary in between them, because Arus va'arusa, and therefore no problem. Amma le Rabba Dabar Matna. So Rabba Dabar Matna came the other way and said, Nikumo Shluha bin Tayu. You should put an intermediary in between them. Amma leva, Amma Rabba Nachman Tana Ba'abar Abati. So the Rabba said, what do you mean? But we learned from Abed Abati that you don't have to put from an Arus va'arusa. So Amma le, Hanimili Hechad, the Logai Si Ba'adad. That's all you talk about. We don't see them have any familiarity or gestures to each other. But these two over here, we see that they're close to each other. Therefore, Arus va'arusa also needs an intermediary. Okay, we go on now to the next Mishnah. Ve'elu ne'emanim le'aid begodlan ma'ashra'u bekotnan. The following have the emanut. When they get older, to testify as gedolim to something that they witnessed when they were ketanim. Wow. Okay, now the Gemara is going to give us the Mishnah, is going to give us the examples. Number one, Ne'eman Adam Nomar Ze Ktav Yado Shel Abba. You have a shtar, so you have to be kayem the shtar. Like we said, midrabanan. There's a concept of kiyum shtarot. Midrabanan, when you have two edim on a shtar that they signed, they have a famous rule that said edim hatumim al shtar kenichkera edutan bebetin. That's as if they gave a testimony in betin, and just like a verbal testimony is accepted, edut on a shtar is considered nichkera bebetin. You don't need midrabanan any kiyum. Midrabanan, the rabbis say what? You need a kiyum. So what happens? This guy comes along and says, as a gadol, I remember my father's... The father's not around anymore. He says, listen, I'm telling you that that's my father's signature. How does he remember? He remembers when he was young. He remembers how his father used to sign the name. So therefore he's testifying when he's a gadol, something that he saw when he was a katan. Okay, so Rashi says, Zeh ktav yado shel abba umekaymin ashtar apiv, af api shemet abiv ba'od zeh katan. Which means the father died when he was a katan, so he was only able to see his father's signature when he was a katan. But what? You believe him to be kayyem the shtar. Or, Vezeh ktav yado shel rabbi. Or he wants to be kayyem the shtar of his rabbi. He said, that's my rabbi's signature. Now mind you, in the case of the father, the case is where it's not a case dealing with his father. I mean, it's not where his father, say, lent money to somebody. Because then already a son cannot be, he's a karov. Yeah. We're just talking about where the father signed a shtar, not regarding him, just for, as a witness for somebody else. In that case, we'll believe the son to testify. For the same matter, the Rabbi, he's testifying what? I know that's my rabbi's signature. Ktav yado shel achi, or that's my brother's signature. Or, zachor hayiti beplonit. I remember such and such lady, she yatza bihinuma. On the night of her wedding, she went out with the hinuma. We learned early in the Masechet, hinuma was like the veil that the bitulot used to wear on the night of the wedding. Verosha parua, and her hair was uncovered like the custom of the bitulot was. Vishayya, that's another testimony that we believe them to say. Nafkamina, that the ketubah that she can collect now is 200. Because she's really saying, I remember when I was a kid, I remember I was there at the wedding and I saw her come out like that, and therefore he has to pay her, this guy has to pay 200 for a ketubah. Now the hadush is that you're going to take away money out of a guy based on the idut of a katana, based on what he saw. He's a gadol now, but based on what he saw when he was a katana, the Gemara will ask that question. Furthermore, v'sheaya ish peloni yotze mebet ha-sefer litbol le'echol betrumah. He can testify. I remember I was in school, and this guy over here, his father took him out of the yeshiva in order to bring him to the mikveh. So he's really saying he's a kohen. Therefore, you can trust him to get there eating terumah. Furthermore, b'shaya cholek imanu ala gorim. Well, that's he's a kohen himself, this guy. He says, I remember when I was young, this guy used to come to the granaries and collect terumah with me. V'amakom hazeh betaparis. And we believe him to say what? That this place over here is Bet HaParis. What is Bet HaParis? We went to Masechet Berachot. Bet HaParis is a place where you have a body that was buried, and they went and they plowed the field. And the concern is that what happens when you plow the field, some of the body parts now are going to be lifted up from the plow, and now it's going to be scattered in the field. Now if you have an Etzim, that's the size of a Se'ora, it's Metameh Behesit. Which means if somebody moves it or touches it, so therefore it's going to be metameh. And therefore the deen is, they believe that this kid to say that this spot over here is considered a Bet HaParis, and then there's all laws which we'll see in the Gemara, exactly how do you walk through a Bet HaParis without contracting tum'ah. Furthermore, ve'ad kan ha'inu ba'im b'shabbat. He's able to testify where the Tchum Shabbat was. I remember when I was young, we used to stop at this point on Shabbat. That was considered the city limits. We were able to walk on Shabbat. Aval en adam ne'eman nomar derech haya lefloni b'mkom hazeh. You're not allowed to say, guy has a field, let's say. He can't come along this adult and say, I remember when I was a kid, this guy over here used to have passageway through this guy's field. Which means, what you're really doing is, you're saying that although so-and-so owns the field, but the other guy has rights to walk through. Now the law is, if a guy's walking through somebody's field for 3 years, and the owner doesn't protest, so it's already hazakah. So therefore you can assume that he has those rights. So in this case, we're not going to let an adult testify that this guy over here now had walking rights through, because you're motzi mamon from somebody else. And therefore, as what you saw as a youngster cannot be motzi mamon from somebody else. Furthermore, ma'amad u'mesped haya leploni b'mkom hazeh. Says, you see this guy has a field? His custom was that he would allow funerals to take place in his field. Ma'amad and Moshav was the custom they used to make, that on the way back from the funeral, they would stand and sit 7 times, and they would make eulogies. So he says that, I'm telling you, this field over here, I saw that Ma'amad and Moshav ceremony, and they used to give eulogies over there. What he's really saying is that there's a hazakah that this guy's field is used for this over here. So he's trying to take the field away from the guy for certain rights. Not Ne'eman. Now the Gemara is going to go through all the cases and analyze them separately. Now she says there's a Girsah that should be taken out. Some have in the Mishnah of Yohanan bin Beruka. But that Girsah does not belong in the Mishnah. It belongs in the Braita that we're going to see at the end of the Masechet. Comes the Gemara. Amar Ravuna ben Rav Yoshua. Vihu sheyesh gadol emo. Of course, which means in certain cases, for example, for kiyum shtarot, you need 2 witnesses. So therefore, as long as you have his testimony of what he remembers when he was a katan, with another gadol that knows that the witness's signature went from when he was a gadol, so it's considered 2 witnesses. Which means, don't think we're going to just rely on one witness over here. You need 2 witnesses. You need 1 legitimate guy that saw everything when he was a gadol, and you can rely on this guy, what he saw when he was a katan. Comes the Gemara and says, Vesricha. Oh, you need all these cases. What do you need? The father case, the rabbi case, the brother case. Because if you just give me the case of the father, where he's verifying his father's signature. Mishum deshkiach gabeh. Excellent. We can trust him because he's by his father. He's close to his father. Therefore, he recognizes his father's signature. Mashiach says, V'natan einab bekatnuto bechtav yedei aviv. He paid attention when he was young. That's his father's signature. Aval rabo, no. But maybe he's not as close to his rabbi. Maybe he doesn't know his rabbi's signature. Therefore, I say maybe he doesn't have ne'emanut. V'yashme'in an rabo. If you only told me rabo, mishum de'it le'emta de'rabbe. He has fear for his rabbi. Or for his rabbi. Which means he's not going to testify that it's his rabbi's signature unless he knows the signature. Because he has fear for his rabbi. About Abiv, no. But the reference, he doesn't have the same reference for his father. Therefore, maybe he's not midayek. Good. If you only told me the case of the father and the rabbi, I would say like this. The father, you believe, because why? He's close to his father, he saw the signature. And the rabbi also, because he has fear of him, therefore he's not going to lie. And he's going to be careful to make sure that it's his rabbi's signature. But the brother doesn't have either of these. He's not always close to his brother, he doesn't have any fear to his brother. Emalo, I might think that he's not believed. Kamashmalan is therefore he's believed also. Why? Because since the whole kiyum of shtarot is rabbinical, you have to remember the Rish Lakish's statement is a very important statement of the Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish taught that a shtar that has witnesses on it, mina Torah, you don't need kiyum. It's ki'ilu nehkeru edutan bebetin, which means just like 2 witnesses come to betin. We grill them, we ask them questions, we interrogate them, then what? If they were legitimate, we accept them. So edim that made their names on a shtar, it's considered what? As if they gave testimony of betin. There's nothing stronger than that. Midrabanan, however, they demanded kiyum. So since kiyum shtarot is only midrabanan, so they allowed this guy to testify what he saw when he was a katan. That's the hadush of the Mishnah. Comes the Mishnah, and Gemara continues. I remember I was at the wedding of such and such a lady. She went with the veil on, and she had the henumat and the hair uncovered. Meaning she's a betula. Meaning the husband has to pay now ketubah 200. My tama,
meaning what's the reason why you believe him? Because normally to take money out of somebody, you need regular testimony over here.
So the Gemara says, "Kevan derov nashim betulot nisot."
Because since the majority of ladies that get married are betulot,
gilui milta be'almahu.
This is not really a testimony. This is just a revelation that she explains. You don't need to do this sketch. Go to Rov. Rov are betulot. It's just that when we're going to make the guy pay 200, we want it to become mifusam that she was a betula. So therefore we accept this guy's testimony just to, when the people say, hey, you gave her 200. Okay, we have this guy over here was known. He was just giving he gave a testimony. Not that you need his testimony. He went out his testimony. It's you go after the Rav. But it adds to it. As she says, the farsim, she yatzah din le'or belo gimgum. Right? We want everybody to know that the law was passed without any claims, and therefore we accept it as a gilui milta, not as a edut. Comes the Gemara and continues, v'shehaya ish ploni yotzeh mebet ha-sefer litbol le'chol betrumah.
I remember such and such a kid was in the Bet Sefer, in the school, and his father took him out of the school to take him to the mikveh in order to go feed him terumah.
So you can trust that testimony, and he's a kohen now.
Gemara says, "V'dilma ha'evet kohen."
Who told you he's a kohen? Maybe he's the eved of a kohen, and we know that what kinyan kasvo, the eved of a kohen is terumah. So how can you base that testimony? Maybe he was in the school with the eved of the kohen, and what, the father took the eved of the kohen out, his eved, in order to go to the Mephesu Chini Terumah. So how could you make the guy a queen based on such a testimony?
This
proves Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi. Damar Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi,
Asur le'adam shiyelamed et avdot Torah.
You know how to teach you Eved Torah. Therefore, what was he doing in the Bet Sefer? Therefore, if he was in the Bet Sefer, that's an integral part of the testimony. So it must be not a Bnei Eved. Must have been a regular Kohen. That's how you know. So it's a proof to Rabbi Yoshua, you can't teach you Eved Torah.
Gemara says, velo.
What do you mean? You can't teach Eved Torah?
Ve'at Tanya, we have a Braita.
Now, we know the law is a person has an Eved. The Eved is, Eved Kanani we're talking about, of course. Eved Kanani is Hayav in Mitzvot. Midrabanan, and Mitzvot Asesh Azman Gerama is exempt, is only Hayav in Mitzvot like a lady. Now, once already the Eved Kanani is freed, then he is considered a full-fledged Jewish Hayav in all the Mitzvot. So now the case is like this. Let's say the master borrowed money from his Eved. Now normally you don't borrow money from an Eved, because the law is Mashikana Eved. It returns back to you. Whatever he owns, you own. So that may be an indication what he's really doing is he's freeing him. And therefore, by freeing him, that's why he's lending, borrowing money from him. It's an indication that maybe he's free. Or let's say, or let's say he made his Eved the administrator over his properties. So that's already a trustee over the properties. Or let's say the Eved put on tefillin in front of his master. Now an Eved Kanani is patur from tefillin. So therefore, by putting on the tefillin in front of his master didn't say anything. So it could be it's master that maybe his master is really freeing him. Or another one. He went to the shul, he got an aliyah, he read three pesukim of the Sefer Torah in front of his master. So the Gemara says, "Areze lo yatza leherut." Don't think. None of these things is a proof that the guy is free. That's she. Second line. Velo amrinan ilav de shahrere. We're not going to say, listen, if he didn't free him, lo ava yazif mine, he wouldn't have borrowed money from him. Velo ava shavik lenog menag ben honin, he wouldn't have made him his trustee over all his properties to buy and sell. Vishamainan mine diyesh eved shelomed Torah. But what do you see over here? You see that an eved learns Torah. Which means, yeah, because he read the three pesukim. And you don't tell me he's free. Really, he's an eved. That's not an indication that he's free. But you see what? An eved could study Torah. Yeah. So therefore we have a question against Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So the Gemara says there's a big difference between the cases. Ki ka amrinan de kanahig be hatam de ikri eved midato. That case of where he just brought me, the eved's reading on his own. However, ki ka amrinan de kanahig be minhag banin. What Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi meant, that you don't teach your Eved Torah, you don't treat him like your son, meaning send him to yeshiva. Which is, if the Eved wants to read on his own, he reads on his own. But what the Rabbi Yoshua says, you don't teach him Torah, meaning you don't send him to yeshiva like your child. So therefore, that's the case of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said, the case of the Eved. That what? That when he's giving a testimony, so we say what? That the Eved really must have been a Kohen, because his Eved wouldn't have been in the school. Why wouldn't he be in school? Because he's not allowed to teach your Eved the Torah. I saw the Eved read, that's on his own. But you wouldn't send your kid the Eved to the yeshiva. So therefore must have been, not have been a slave. Kohen. And therefore he's ne'eman to say that testimony. And therefore you establish him that he is a Kohen. Good. So I saw him in the yeshiva. The father took him out to go to the mikveh to eat Terumah. So the Gemara says, Betrumah Drabbanan. Which means we're only going to take this testimony to allow this Kohen now to eat Terumah Drabbanan. We're not going to take a testimony of a man that saw something when he was young to let this guy eat now Terumah Deoraita. Terumah Deoraita would be, let's say, Hita, grains, grapes, olives, that's Deoraita. All other perot are considered Drabbanan, and anything in Chutz La'aretz is also considered Drabbanan. So therefore, for this testimony, the Gemara speaks out, it's only Terumah Drabbanan. Good. The Gemara says, we trust him when he comes along and says, this guy, I saw him in the granary, and he was given chalek in the terumah, and the maaser, or whatever, the terumah, let's say, like us. So he says, he's a Kohen. Gemara says, v'dilma evet kohenu. How do you know? And Eved Kohen is also not to eat terumah. So maybe the guy's Eved Kohen, he went to the granary, they gave to Eved Kohen, also he gets a piece of the action. So how do you know, just because he comes along and says, I saw him in the granary, that you can treat him like a Kohen? Maybe he's an Eved of a Kohen. So Gemara says, Tenan Keman de Amar, must be that Amishtas following the opinion that says, En Holkin Terumah le'Eved, Ela Imken Rabo Imo. Which means, an Eved, you don't give him at the granaries Terumah, unless his rabbi's there. And therefore, in this case over here, obviously we're saying what? There was no rabbi there. You saw the guy there alone, so there must be he was a real Kohen.
Master.
The boy Mo is master. The Tanya, we have a braita. In Holkin Terumah le'Eved of Machlokar over here. One shita says you don't give Terumah to an Eved of a Kohen, Ela Imken Rabbi Mo, unless his master is with him. Devre Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yose Omer, Yacholu Shiyomar, Im Kohen Ani, Tenuli Bishvil Asmi. Vim Eved Kohen Ani, Tenuli Bishvil Rabbi. Which means, you let him go down alone, and you let him say, listen, if I'm a Kohen, I'll take for myself. If I'm an Eved of a Kohen, I'll take because I'm an Eved of a Kohen. So we have a fantastic mahalok in the Bihuda and the Biyoseh. Can an Eved of a Kohen go down alone to the granary? So the Gemara says like this, what's the logic of the mahalok? So the Gemara is going to explain the logic of the mahalok over here. Bimkomo shel Rabbi Yehuda, in the place of Rabbi Yehuda, hayu ma'alin mitrumah liyuhasin. Which means, when you saw a Kohen go down to the granary and get terumah, that already was the biggest proof that he's a Kohen, and therefore was a Kohen to get biyuhasin, which means now you knew he wasn't a natin, he wasn't a mamzer, it gave him already full status as a Kohen. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is consistent. That's why he says, you gotta have the master with him. Because if the guy's gonna be alone there, and he's Eved, people are gonna say, oh, I saw him getting Terumah, they're gonna think it's a regular legitimate Kohen. So because he held that standing at the granary getting Terumah already is the biggest proof for you, Hasin, so therefore, you gotta be strict. You gotta have the master there. Because if he's alone, people are gonna think he's gonna be Yuhas. So therefore, that's why he says you have to have the master there. Now, b'mkomosh Rabbi Yoseh, the opposite. In the place of Rabbi Yoseh, lo ayu ma'alim mitumah liyuhasin. So then he doesn't care. Even if the guy's an Eved, let him go down alone. Because nobody's going to ever make a mistake just because he was taken from the granary that he is a Kohen. So it's based on those opinions. Now, you have a case over here, even where he's a Safek, which is the case above, was the case where he's a Safek, Safek Eved, Safek Kohen. How? You have, let's say, a guy's a Kohen, right? And he has a slave, okay? And the children get mixed up. You don't know which child belongs to the master, and you know which child belongs to the Eved. And Mamarashach, they can eat Terumah. Anyway. Look at that sheep. You're right. But in that case over there, we have a Mahloket, when he goes down to eat, does he eat Mita'am? Does he have to go down with his master or not? The Buddha has got to go down with his master. Whereas according to the B.O.C., he can say, listen, whatever I am, if I'm Kohen, give me from the Kehunah. If I'm from Eved, give me from the Eved. Look at that sheep. He stays the case.
Look at Rashi. V'nesha de braita kohenet shenitarev valda bevilat shifchata. You have a kohenet where her child got mixed up with the child of her shifcha. Shneim yosim legorim, which means they both can go down to the gorim in manafshach. Either the child is a kohen or the child is an eved of a kohen. Either way can eat. Yeah. So according to the Biyoseh, you don't even got to go with the master. Just go down alone. Just tell them, listen, whatever I am, give me. According to the Biyuda, no, in that case over there, they might think that this guy's miyuhas. Therefore, you got to go down with the master. Bimkomosh the Biyuda, in the place of the Biyuda, hayu ma'alin mitrumal liyuhasin. Right? Which means, the guy would go to the granary, already that was an indication he's a kohen, they would elevate him for yuhasin. He's not a nazi, he's not a mamzer, he's not a natin, he's considered the legitimate kohen. However, b'mkomosho Rabbi Yosef, lo ayu ma'adim mitrumah liyuhasin. Good, and therefore, hence each opinion coincides with their own shita. Tanya amar bil'azar b'Rabbi Yosef, miyamai. He says, in my life, lo ya'adti, I never was a witness, I never had to give testimony. Pamahat, one time I gave testimony, ya'adti, ve'ilu eved likuna. And based on my testimony, they ended up bringing an eved, and they treated him as if he was a kohen. According to my testimony. So the Gemara says, he'ilu salkadatach. What? Is that possible? That you think that based on the testimony of a Sadiq, that God would bring a stumbling block to a Sadiq, that they would elevate a Eved and treat him like a Kohen? Why can't the Gemara accept that? Hashta uma behemtan shel Sadiqin. Ela kadosh baruch hu nevi takala al yadam. Sadiqim atzmam lo kot sheken. Which means even the animals of the Sadiqim, God does not bring a stumbling block. When you see different stories of the animals of the Sadiqim, either did not want to eat different foods that were not taken out to the Motun Ma'asrot, or did not want to work on Shabbat. So therefore you see what? If the animals of the Sadiqim, God does not bring a stumbling block, coach you can the Sadiqim themselves. So how could you tell me the rabbi gave a testimony, and based on his testimony, they made an Eved into a Kohen? So the Gemara says, Ela bikshu leha'alot Eved lekehuna alpi. They wanted to, but it didn't come out to fruition. Now, how could such a mistake take place? So the Gemara tells us how it happened. Hazab be'atred Rabbi Yosef. He was in Rabbi Yosef's jurisdiction. He saw a guy go to the granary without his master there, taking tiruma. So he came and gave testimony where? Ve'azal ve'asid be'atred Rabbi Yehuda. He gave the testimony in the jurisdiction of Rabbi Yehuda, where that already is an indication that he's miyuhas. Yep. So therefore, it was a mistake that could happen. Which means, if he would have gave the testimony in the Yehuda's jurisdiction, they would have told him it means nothing. He could have been an Eved. But by the Yehuda's jurisdiction, that's already an indication. So therefore, the mistake, but it came out at the end that they realized that he saw it in a different jurisdiction, and therefore they did not be ma'ale the keuna. Comes the Gemara and continues. V'shamakom azeh betaparesu. Right? Now, you're able to testify what? That this place is a betapares. We explain betaparis that she says, betaparis, ha-horesh et ha-kever. Right? The guy, let's say, plows a kever. Ha-reze ose betaparis. What is betaparis? Me'a amah. The rabbi said 100 amah around the place where you plowed. You have to assume that that's where the fragments of the bones scattered. Shekach shi'aru sham mahrisha molechit atzamot amit. That that's what the rabbi's calculated. 100 amah around that area, the bones scattered. V'dilma naga, maybe touched or his seat. Hamalech mo et etzim kis'ora sham etamim magam masa. The concern of it is not flesh. Flesh, the shoot is a kezayit. The concern over here is what? Bone fragments. Bone fragments, the shoot is bone fragments, it's the shoot of a se'ura, the size of a barley. So you're worried that there's a barley size of a etzim, maybe he's going to touch it or move it. Now, we're not concerned, why are you unconcerned? But there's a dead body under there. Maybe he's ma'ahil over the body. Yeah. Because the gabe that, there already you need for atzamot that are underground to be metameh be'ohel, you need already either rov minyan or rov binyan. You need the majority of the bones of the body or the majority of the frame of the structure. Which means the bones of the legs, which make up the majority of the structure of the body.
Or the skull,
which is the ikar. So therefore, in this case, so we're worried about the bone fragments that are on top of the ground. So he's able to be believed that what? That this is indeed a dentaparis. So the Gemara says, my tama, what's the reason why you believe such a such a testimony? So comes the Gemara and says, the reason why you believe him is because Bet HaParis Drabbanan. The whole deen of a Bet HaParis is only Medrabbanan.
Because Medoraita, you don't have to be Hoshesh. It's a Hashash Medrabbanan that when they plowed the field, that maybe some of the fragments went up.
So Gemara says, how do you know? Damad of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Menapeyach Adam Bet HaParis Veoleh.
A guy has to bring his Korban Pesach, right? He's got to bring Korban Pesach Betahara. The only way to get to the Bet HaMikdash is he's got to walk through a Bet HaParis. Oh, now if there was Vaday Tum'a Deoraita there, we wouldn't let him walk through a Bet HaParis. However, since the Tum'a is only to the Banan, we let him walk through. How does he walk through? Using the concept of Nipuah, which means he blows his way through it, which means he walks slowly and he blows it. Any little fragment is going to happen, what? Will be pushed to the side and will be able to walk in. If it was Deoraita, we wouldn't let him walk in. But so the fact that you see we allow him to use the Nipuah, the method, shows you what, that it's only
a Midrabanan. Look at she, Menapeach Adam Betaparis Vesomech Al Kach.
You can rely on Nipuah, the blowing.
Sheim Yesh Etzim Ro'ehu.
Even though you're being ma'ahil over the body,
that's
right. Which means an etzim kishora, a small little piece of bone fragment, even the size of a seora, is not metame be'oil.
Either
you have the spinal cord or gulgolet shelema, or the full skull, or rov binyan, or rov binyan, or the majority of bones, or the majority of frame. The point is, I'm not worried about oil. I'm worried about over here touching. Now when a guy walks through the field and he's blowing away, any little fragment he'll see. So he's not going to move it, not going to touch it. Now you wouldn't be lenient to bring a Qur'an Pesach to walk through such a field if it was a Deoraita issue. So if you see Zeman, that's why we trust the Idut of a Gadol that saw it when he was a Katat to say indeed was a
Bet HaParis. Furthermore, the Gemara says,
another law. Let's say you know that there's a Bet HaParis that was trampled. You know, let's say throngs of people walk through it and they trample it. Then you can say the whole field is tahor. You can just walk right through it. Why? Because when people trample it, you got to assume that the little bone fragments that are on top of the ground, they disintegrated. Yeah. They became less than a seorah.
So therefore, my tama, yifshar le'etzim kisorah, sheloni das beregel.
It's impossible that the etzim kisorah was not trampled in the surah.
She says, sheni dash, disha rabba,
with a lot of
feet. Tahor. The talil lekula. Ve'amrina and kol ha'atzamot nichtetu
lefahot b'kishi'ur. You assume they got trampled less than the shi'ur.
Alma, again, what do you see?
It's hashashad rabbanan. If it was a doraita, we wouldn't lie on trampling. So you see two proofs that what? Bet HaParis is a deen.
Mid rabbanan. The Gemara continues. Ve'ad ka'ana'inu ba'im b'shabbat. So you have a witness again, who is now a gadol. He's testifying what he remembers as a katan. So he says, I remember when we were a katan, we used to go up until this place on Shabbat. Meaning this was the Tum Shabbat. This was the city border. So the Gemara says, Kasabar Tehumin Drabbanan. You have to say that the Mishnah is holding like the opinion that Tum Shabbat is Medrabbanan. Remember we learned in Masechet Shabbat that Rabbi Akiva was the one that held Tum Shabbat as the Uraita. So if Tehum Shabbat was the Uraita, we wouldn't trust a person to testify what he remembers when he was a Katan. But since Tehumim is the Rabbanan, so he could take such a testimony. Ve'en ne'eman nomar, derech haya lefloni b'makom hazeh, ma'amad u'mespeda haya lefloni b'makom hazeh. The man, the witness is not ne'eman to say that I remember when I was young, such and such a guy used to have rights in the field. Which means somebody had a field. Again, he's testifying that the fellow has a field, and he gave walking rights to somebody else through his field. And this went on for 3 years, and nobody protested. And therefore, this witness is testifying that part of the field's rights belong to somebody else. I mean, walking rights is considered a right. Or he's claiming that what? That there used to be funerals done in this guy's field. When people would come back to the funeral, they're accustomed to stand and to sit and to eulogize. This guy's field used to allow it for that. So the Gemara says he's not ne'eman to say that. My tama, apuke mamona lo mafkira. Because again, this is already, he's taking money out of somebody's possession. On such a testimony of when you're a katan, what you saw, it's not going to be valid enough to be motzi mamon from somebody else. Taru rabbanan, ne'eman atinok lomar, kach amar li abba. A tinok, minor, is believed to say, I remember this is what my father used to tell me. Mishpacha zu tehora, mishpacha zu teme'a. This family is pure, this family is impure. So the Gemara says, tehora v'teme'a salkadatach. What do you mean? Families are not tahora or teme'a. Which means that tahor and tame is a law of the din tumah v'tara. You don't say families are tahor or tame. Ela mishpacha zu keshera u'mishpacha zu pesula. That's what he's able to say. I remember my father said, this family is kashem, the lineage is fine, that this family over here is pasul. Now again, when it says ne'eman atinok, it means he's testifying when he's a gadol, what he remembers that his father told him when he was a tinok. Gemara says that this gadol is ne'eman to say, he's believed to say, v'sha'achalnu beketzatza shel bat ploni leploni. That we ate beketzatza. We're going to wait for the Gemara to explain to us what the word ketzatza means. At the wedding of ploni to ploni. When at this wedding, we ate ketzatza. We'll see what that means. V'sha'inu molichin hala umatanot lefloni kohen al yedei atzmo, aval lo al yedei acher. Furthermore, he's the imam to say that I remember we used to bring hala to such and such a person. Obviously, that means he must be a kohen. The Gemara says he's only believed to say al yedei atzmo, meaning I remember my father used to send me as the shaliach to go deliver hala to such a person, aval lo al yedei acher. But he's not believed to say that his father sent the hala through somebody else, because since he was a katan when he's recollecting this, he's careful to remember things that he himself did, and therefore we can trust his testimony. But on things that other people did that sent the hala, he wasn't the exact one, so the Hakim did not give him a ne'emanut. So comes the Gemara and says, Nashi, v'sha'ayinu modichin al yedei atzmo, im kach ya'id atinok al yedei haya abba, sholeh lo hala umatanot. Like my father used to make me the shaliach to send this guy halam matanot, so that would be make him a kohen. Vechulan imaya oved kochavim. In all these cases, if let's say the guy was a goy, v'nitgayer, and then he converted, but he gave all this testimony when he was a goy, and then he converted. Eved v'nishtachrer, he gave the testimony when he was an eved kana'ani. And then what happened? He got freed. En ne'emanim, they do not have a ne'emanut. Ve'en ne'eman nomar derech haya lefloni b'mkom hazeh ma'amad u'mesped haya lefloni b'mkom hazeh. Furthermore, like the Mishnah said, there is no ne'emanut for this gadol to testify that the fellow had walking rights through somebody else's field, or he had eulogy rights, or the guy used to make funerals in his field. Because that's already, like we said, a motzim ha'haveru ala baraya, and he cannot testify on something that he remembers when he was a katam. Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka omer, Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka said, ne'emanim, which means he held that a goy is ne'eman, Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka, as well as a eved that became mishuhrar. He's able to testify on these items. And the Gemara will explain exactly what the machloket is. Rashi, imaya oved kochavim v'nitgayer, ve'eid mishenitgayer. Oh, so we have to make a clarification. He didn't testify when he was a goy. He's making the testimony when he was a ger, based on what he saw when he was a goy. Shera'et ele benochrito. Okay, so that's the case. We have a clarification there. He's testifying when he's Jewish based on what he remembers when he was a goy. He's testifying after he was free based on what he remembers when he was a Eved. They have a machlokut Tanakama and Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka. Comes Gemara says, now, Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka just really said ne'emanim. Now, we don't know on which part of the Braita did he say ne'emanim. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka ahiya. Where is he going on? Ilema asefa. If you're going on the sefa, meaning on what we just said, that the adult is ne'eman to say that when I was young, I remember this guy had a field and the other guy had walking rights through this guy's field, and to that the Yohanan ben Beroka saying he's ne'eman to say that, impossible. Apuke mamonau. That's motzi mamon. We're not going to let a testimony of what a person remembers when he was a katan to take money out of somebody's possession. Ela Aresha.
Ela must be going, Rabbi Yohanan's arguing on the beginning part of the statement, which is what?
V'chulam imaya oved kuchavim v'nitkayir, eved v'nishtachrer en ne'emanim, Rabbi Yohanan v'roka omer ne'emanim.
The Mahlokan is on, can a fellow testify what he remembers when he was a goy, or what he remembers when he was a eved? Rabbi Yohanan v'roka says, yeh ne'eman.
V'may kamepalgeh,
so what's the root of this Mahlokan?
Tanakama sabar kevan de'oved kuchavimu, lo abadayik.
Tanakama says, listen, since he was a goy, bottom line, when he saw it, so he's not medayik. He's not careful to see exactly the right way. Therefore, he's not precise. Therefore, you can't trust his testimony.
Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka savar, kevan de da'te le'igure, medaka medayik.
Talk about a case where the guy's intending to convert. And therefore, since the guy's intending to convert, he's careful. Because he knows he's going to convert, so therefore he has, he's a little more precise when he sees what he sees. So therefore his testimony is accepted. Now the Gemara says, "My ketzatza." One of the things we said that a person has an emanut is he can say, "When I was young, I remember at the wedding of such and such, they were eating biksatza." So what's this ketzatza?
Gemara says, "The Tanu Rabbanan kesat ketzatza." What is this item of ketzatza? Echad min ha'achim. Shenasa isha she'enu hagunet lo.
Yeah, but one of the guys in the family, one of the brothers, he married a lady that's not hagunet. That's not proper. She comes not from a, let's say, miyuhas family. There's a question on the lineage.
Ba'in benim mishpacha.
So what was the custom? The other family members would come to the wedding.
Umevi'in havit melea perot.
They would bring a barrel filled with fruit.
Veshovrin ota be'emsa dehaba.
They will break the barrel of fruit in the middle of the street.
Ve'omrim, achenu bet Yisrael shema'u.
Dear brothers of Israel, listen.
Achenu ploni,
our brother, this guy,
nasa isha she'ena hogenet lo.
He married a lady that's not that way for him.
Umityare'im anu, we're scared. Shemme yit'arib zar'o
bezar'enu. We're worried now that his children are not going to be miyuhas, could be they're going to be pisulim. We're worried now they're going to mix up his children with our children.
Bo'u ukru lachem dugma ledorot.
Learn over here from this lesson over here for the generations.
Shelo yitarev zar'o bizar'enu.
So what? That his lineage should not get mixed up in our lineage.
Vizui kitzatza. Shatinok ne'eman la'id aleas.
He's able to testify. Remember there was a question at that wedding. Remember they had this kitzasa ceremony. They broke the barrel of fruit in the middle of the street, which indicates that there was something fishy about the marriage. The family protested. There was a problem of Yehus over there, and therefore he is believed. The word kitzasa, the Aruch Lehen explains, comes from Lashon Kitz. Or Kitz like to end, to cut off, which means like they're really saying. And the Yerushalmi has a language in this Gemara that says, Niksots ploni memishpachtenu. You know, we're going to cut him off from our family based on the fact that he has a... that he has... No, this is the fact. This is the fact over here. And the she says, well, what's the fruit exactly? So that she says, Dugma. Look at that she. Dugma. Ot v'siman zekaron nedorot habaim. It's a siman, so everybody will remember. For the future generations, I mean, it's a funny thing. You're breaking the barrel in the middle of the street. So they want to make a spectacle so they won't forget it. So the Mefarshim explained, it's almost as if they would tell the people at the wedding, take some fruit so you remember. Hey, take some of this fruit of it so you have like a memento to remember exactly that there's a psul over here.
Says it to evoke interest in the children.
Correct.
Memories are...
Because the children remember better. So therefore the children like fruit. So therefore you're giving out fruit to the children because they have a memory. They'll remember better than the adults in order that they should know that there was something, a type of psul over here.
Hadran ala chayisha shenet armela.